Well, it's a very good question. Where did all this blood come from?
Hello, everybody. You're listening to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby, and I'm with my friend Phil, whose heart, the last name is the hardest name ever to pronounce. It's a fact. Phil Pogorzelski?
No.
No, it's not perfect. Say it correctly, Phil.
Pogorzelski.
Phil Pogorzelski. No?
Unless you want to do it the Polish way, which would be Pogorzelski.
I like the Polish way. Phil Pogorzelski. Let's keep doing this. Phil what?
Pogorzelski.
Pogorzelski. What does that mean, Phil?
I don't think it means anything except possibly... No.
It means that an O...
My brother probably knows.
An O-R-Z-E-L. The combination. This is a fucked up name, Phil. I have the most English last name you could think of, and you have the most Polish last name you could... Like, look at. But even on paper, it looks difficult.
Yeah. Although, I like how you say it with such hatred.
Pogorzelski. That's the thing. I never really noticed that. I apologize, I guess. Yeah, I don't know about it.
Cool. That's
how
cool.
Long have I known you? I've known you, like I know a lot of people that come on this show, through our favorite watering hole, The Hungry Brain. At the time that I met you, you lived across the street.
True.
And that really worked out, because at the time, you would come in, and I would work there, and we would inevitably... talk to each other.
Yes, and that place is now like some kind of Buddhist meditation, which is kind of weird, but...
The Hungry Brain?
No, the place where I used to live.
The
apartment building, on top of Andy's Music.
What? That's no longer an apartment building?
No, well, it's now like on top, it's like some Buddhist monks or something rented it out.
Phil lived in this wonderful apartment with three other guys, or two girls and a guy, whatever. There was four people living there, am I right?
Yes.
And I just one real quick story about this. No one else had heat except you?
Correct. For a while, we were getting free electricity. We're not going to get busted for this.
No, you're not going to get busted. You're not going to retroactively get busted.
We weren't paying for our electricity bill. So, and then one of our roommates didn't want to pay heating, really. So, we had the heat down, which ended up on a freezing our pipes. But before we go on that tangent, we decided to get... space heaters, and I was like, free electricity, so why not, you know? So I plugged, so before anyone else got it, this was like, they were just freezing their, you know, their asses off. They were just, am I allowed to say that?
You could say anything you want on this show, as long as it's not, no, say it all. I don't
Okay, so everyone, it was, whenever we got home, everyone went to the room and just huddled up.
Okay.
It was so cold, but I decided my day off to get two space heaters. So one day, everybody else got home, you know, maybe 65, 60 in the apartment. Or that's where the heat's on, so it's much colder than
that. Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know? And so everyone's freezing. And I walk outside in really short shorts and a T-shirt.
Phil, you're a tall guy, too.
So it was awesome because it was 95. I was sweating. I did blow the fuse shortly after because space heaters take up a lot of...
Oh, Phil, you're a magical man. Phil has probably the best facial hair of anyone I know. You've had a mustache for as long as I could remember knowing you.
Mm-hmm.
What inspired this? Because you had it way before everyone else had it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I had a beard and for a while before.
Are there any photos of you with the beard? I've never seen one.
There are, but for some reason it's tough to see the beard.
Was it like a Kyle Orton beard? Was it all patchy?
No, it was a full beard. My... there was no connecting between the mustache, really, and the beard, which is interesting.
Very. So, okay, so how would you describe your current mustache to people?
Awesome.
It is awesome. I'd say Ditka.
Ditka, yeah. I mean, I get that comparison a lot, so you wouldn't be the
which
first.
Is awesome.
Yes.
Which is an awesome comparison. No, but, like, but why do you have it?
Well, I had the, like I was saying, I had the beard, and everybody had beards, you know, and it was cool, you know. You know, you got facial hair. You're part of a fraternity, you know.
Large fraternity,
yes.
Now.
But then it was just, it seemed like everybody was doing it. So it was obvious to me that mustaches were the new beards, you know. So I just thought mustaches were just that much better. On top of which, I thought somebody having a job, I couldn't really have a beard per se, because a beard implies a certain freedom, which I didn't feel I had anymore.
So you know? The mustache was is your version of corporate freedom?
It's kind of like a working man's beard, you know,
because okay.
You don't have to groom yourself at all if you have a beard. It's kind of saying like I'm an outsider.
You could groom the beard.
You can, but then I think it's phony. You know?
Okay, I agree with you actually. Then it's like a Billy Mays beard.
Exactly. I mean, if I ever, you know, if I ever won the lottery, there's a good chance I'd never shave again, in which case I'd have a beard.
Whoa, I hope. What is your next, like, do you have any vacations where you're going to take, like, a month off by any chance?
Not
like,
that I know of.
Do you have any, like, week or 2 week long vacations coming up?
Not that I know of. I have a week long vacation, but that's not going to be enough to accomplish.
You're not even going to try to do the beard for a week?
Well, I probably won't shave, but I mean.
Nice.
I mean, I don't know how
but it's not just in. The beard. It's not just a mustache here. You have huge chops here.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, this is the first guest where we've talked about grooming for so much.
I think that's a compliment.
Because podcasting is definitely a visual format. What's with the chops, too? Because, like, that's not corporate either. That's the thing.
I don't know. It's something I've always had. I've had them at different lengths before. I used to have them a lot longer. I also had them shorter.
They go down to right under your chin.
Correct. I had them actually longer before, too, and a lot more thick. You know, I do try to keep this one a little more tame, but sometimes, you know, by the time of the end of this, I need to trim it, but by the end of my cycle, it gets pretty Wolverine-esque.
And then you also have shaggy hair.
Yes.
And I just pulled out this cover of the Beatles, and you kind of look, I'm trying to figure out to describe it to listeners. You either look like the Ringo. I actually have two copies of this, so you look at that one, and I'll look at this one. And I think, I can't tell, you either look like Ringo or George on their 1967 to 1970 Greatest Hits album. Which one do you think, for the listeners out there? I want to say George because he's guitarist, better musician, but I think it's actually more Ringo-esque. Because, I don't know, maybe it is George. Either way, you look like a 1970 Beatle in a wonderful way.
Yeah, I would concur, especially about the wonderful part.
Okay, and you know what? I didn't write any of this down for our pre-interview, but you know what? I'm going to go there. You dress uniquely, too.
Oh, why, thank you.
You don't dress like a hipster, but you don't dress like you're homeless, but you definitely don't dress with current trends, either. You walk this fine line of, like, I know exactly what I want to wear every day. Do you have, like, five set outfits and then you just rotate?
Sort of. I actually only wear two or three different pairs of pants.
Is this true? Are you lying to me?
No, that's true. I don't have many pairs of pants.
You're not, you know what? I think if you were a fatter guy, you would, because you don't smell bad, and I think that's because you're a thin guy.
that's very
I could not get away with three pairs of pants. I'm a much bigger gentleman.
It's difficult for me to find pants, because I normally only shop at thrift stores. Not exclusively, but mostly only at thrift stores.
Those pants you have on now, they look very nice, but they also look like they're from 1973.
Yeah. That's what I get often, and sometimes I do get clothes from other people from who are alive back
then. Let's make it clear, though. Phil is not a dumpster diver. Phil is not jobless. Phil is not homeless. Phil has a good job. He pays his rent. He can afford clothes. You just choose not to.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I think these clothes have character.
They
have seen a thing or two, and they could tell me about, you know, life.
Okay, well, let's go. We've covered the pants and the hair. Let's go to the shirts here.
Okay.
Winter Phil is my favorite Phil. You must own like 50 Christmas sweaters.
I do own approximately. I wouldn't say 50. I would say probably 25.
Okay, we're not joking. You own 25 Christmas sweaters.
Yes.
Why? What about Christmas? You wear them all winter. Let's be clear. It's not like a. It's not a festive.
No. I can wear. I remember last August or August before I actually wore it every day in August.
Was this a bet? We're gonna get to the bets here. Let me write.
No, that was just for kicks.
That was just for kicks. Okay, but okay, let's go to sweaters. Let's do the winter and then the summer wardrobe. Why the Christmas sweaters all winter?
Well, I first did it because at work we were allowed to bring in Christmas sweaters, and it turned out when I started doing it, especially older ladies, grandmas, really really loved it.
Nice.
And it was just fantastic. Like the. And it just made me feel good. And ultimately, I realized that's what clothes should make you do.
I think it's you have a wonderful outlook on this, my friend.
It is feel good. In fact, it was funny. There was this old Greek lady who used to work there. And after I wore my Christmas sweaters for a long time, like, she comes in one time and is like, Phil, you're the only person with a good enough style for this. And then, like, she gave me, like, her dead sister's or somebody's sweaters, like, 40 or, like, they weren't Christmas sweaters, just old lady like sweaters.
So she gave you her what sweaters?
Like her dead sister's like old sweaters. Like she must have been like sweaters for about a sweater you'd expect like a 60 or 70 year old lady to wear.
So they were female sweaters from an elderly woman.
And she said that I'm the only person she's seen with enough style to pull these off.
Have you worn any of those sweaters? Are they good? Are they comfortable?
They're pretty comfortable.
Are they your style though? I'm gonna say no.
I've pulled them off and no one said anything. People, but I've pulled off some really weird sweaters before. I got that weird one with the big wolf on it.
Too, you do have a big wolf. Here's the thing about Phil, though. You don't look like you're on cocaine. We're like, you don't look like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
For some reason, you pull this off. Okay, so you do the sweaters because it makes you feel good, specifically the Christmas sweaters. Summer. Mm-hmm. You're currently wearing what it looks to be a polyester wool combo Brady Bunch-esque shirt.
Right.
It's orange and a different shade of orange. Mm-hmm. Tangerine, some might say.
I try to wear as many shades of orange. Not sure. Normally I stick to brown, but orange is kind of similar. It's darker
it's
orange.
It's true. So. Why? Huh. This is fascinating to me. I never really thought about this.
Well, brown's my favorite color.
Why is brown your favorite color?
I don't know. I've never heard anybody else say that.
It's true, but you can make up a color.
That's true. I don't know. It's just always been that way. My shoes are brown right now.
They are brown right now. Your socks are navy blue?
Mm-hmm. One of them is.
One of them
is?
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah, there's black.
Okay.
And then I got the brown. I don't know. All my... Of the three pairs of pants I wear, two are brown.
are the other ones navy blue?
The other ones are black.
Damn it. I thought I had it.
Although I do have a pair of jeans I just started wearing every once in a while.
Whoa, I don't ever want to see you in jeans. I think the illusion would be ruined.
I'll try not to.
But this is very interesting. I'm only noticing now how unique of an individual you are with your clothing. Your clothing says a lot about you.
Thank you.
I don't know. Okay. Moving on from that. You're one of the few people I know that has lived their entire life in Chicago city limits.
Yes.
And more importantly, you did it on the north side, actually. Yeah. I know some people on the south side. But how is it for somebody that went to college here and grew up here, and people are saying, where are you from? And they say, Chicago. And they're like, no, really, I'm from Winnetka. How do you feel about that? Do you care? Do you just laugh at it?
I definitely laugh at them. To be fair, when I grew up, it was in Chicago. It was in the far northwest side. And I've had certain individuals accuse me of not of saying I was practically in the suburbs, but I draw a distinct line saying it was always in city limits.
Yeah, because I think at one point I lived east of you, but I was still in a suburb.
Yes, yeah. So I mean, they redistrict it, funnily, but that's where all the I always say who's more, and that's where all the cops used to live.
Yeah,
and I'd be like, who's got more guns than cops? You know,
that's true. So you were packing heat.
Yeah, exactly. I'm saying that it was like dodging bullets on my way to work.
What neighborhood is it for people?
That was in the Portage Park area. It was over there.
Okay. How would you describe that neighborhood versus where you live now? You live currently in Roscoe Village.
Yeah. Well, it's difficult to say because first it was Portage Park, and then it was on the very edge. I don't even know what neighborhood it is. By Belmont.
Are you
Cumberland,
like right by the Holy Cross? Belmont and what?
Belmont and Cumberland by Holy Cross.
Oh, you're at the end of the. You're end of the 77 bus route then.
Yeah. Right.
Last stop.
That's where I first moved. We first with my parents. We lived in the Portage Park area, and then we moved to right at the end of the bus stop on Belmont and Cumberland.
Wow, that's barely the city.
Yeah, it's literally the corner.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird.
So.
Well, but now you live in Roscoe Village. Uh-huh. Does it even feel like you're living in the same city?
Yes and no. I mean, so many different things changed. You know, let's face it. Ever since I've moved out, I've always lived in Roscoe Village.
Okay. When did you move out? What year was that?
It's
2009, if that helps now.
It does.
It's April.
Probably 2006, maybe 2005.
Okay, so like 4 years ago.
4 years ago, yeah.
Okay. Well, how has it changed? For you, specifically.
Roscoe Village?
Roscoe Village is going
from the suburbs
to living there.
Well, for me, it's changed only... Well, let's see here. How has it changed?
Are you trying not to say something that'll get you in trouble? Or?
No, I'm just trying to think. I mean, it's a pretty big difference from living at home and not living at home.
Well, yeah,
in general.
That's a given.
So it's difficult to weed out the city, you know, because when I live at home, I don't know how much I really ever took advantage of it.
I'm living in Chicago.
Yeah. Right.
Well, it's kind of weird because you also never had a car until recently.
Yes, until I actually had to. Now that I work out of Glenview, I needed a car. So I'm a bad driver still, but I've only been driving for 17 months, so it's like I'm a 17-year-old. But.
Have you gone on the highway yet?
Twice. Once when I drove to Milwaukee, and once when I got lost.
When you drove to Milwaukee, was it like the scariest like hour of your life?
Sort of. No, I was all right. I was all right.
What'd you go to Milwaukee for?
My brother really wanted to go, so
that's nice.
He's always hounding me, and we never hang out enough. So.
So now your brother's your girlfriend. That's wonderful. No, right. I'm just joking. Phil went to University of Illinois at Chicago for political science. Mm-hmm. I went to DePaul for political science and others. Neither of us are doing anything with our diplomas. At least in terms of political science, we're doing nothing. Why did you become a political science major, Phil?
It was something that I was obviously really interested in at the time, and it's still, I guess I am interested in still.
Why did you major in it? Just because you're interested in it. For example, you're interested in clothing from 1973. You didn't major in fashion.
Oh, I didn't know that was an option. I would like to change my major to 1973 clothing.
By the way, speaking of 1973 clothing, did you see Life on Mars?
I did see Life on Mars.
What'd you think? I loved it.
I thought it was interesting. There were parts I liked. I didn't know where it was going exactly, and I guess I'll never know.
No, right? They actually wrapped it.
Oh, did they?
They let him do, like, the final... whatever. I was just... What do you think of the clothing?
The clothing was awesome.
It was awesome. Okay, back to poli sci. You were interested in it, but, like, what about it made it interesting? For example, we like sports, but I don't necessarily like going to ball games because of their fine hot dogs. That's just an aspect of it.
True. I don't know why. I guess I always thought I probably would do something in it, you know, just only because that's where I just gravitated towards what I wanted to do. It always somehow involved in politics. And then when you get immersed in it, you realize, well, first of all, if I did anything, it'd have to be either, you know, some kind of straight out of internship working for some campaign with low money, you know, and tons of hours.
Okay, but graduate people school. Like you and me are like, oh, I don't want to do that because it's going to take forever. We're not making a lot of money now.
Yeah.
What's the difference? I mean,
true. I don't know.
Okay, but like when you say you'd only want to, okay, that still doesn't really answer the question. That's what about it? What drew you to it? You said you were gravitated towards it, but why?
Deep questions here, man. Deep really? Questions.
I don't
here
think it is.
Tearing down some walls that I've filled up already. What about it specifically? Am I allowed to say so often?
No, you completely can say I'm going between sips of Diet Coke, so I know it sounds weird. You're saying this the last 30 seconds is just unbeatable.
Why was I always gravitated towards political science?
Let's you know, there's no wrong answer on this
one. I realize that. But there's a right one, and I'm going to get to it.
Do you want to move on and then possibly come back to this?
Yeah, let's
I'll
do
make
that.
I'll completely take your mind off of this. Hot dogs. Phil did something very few people in this world could ever even try to do, and that's for you ate 113 hot dogs in 7 days?
103 hot dogs in 14 days.
14 days.
13 days.
Did this include fries?
I did eat fries also, but I mean it wasn't a hot dog and fries. The rule was
and
hot
you did
dogs.
This on just because?
Sort of. I often force people into challenging me.
So you made Phil is one of the worst competitors you're ever going to want to face. Phil and Andy and I, who's been on this podcast before, we're playing Scrabble here at this apartment about 6 months ago. Andy left and left the apartment with a higher score. That did not satisfy Phil. Phil stuck around until he had beat Andy's score in Scrabble, took a photo of it to prove to Andy so he is not a cheater. Mm-hmm. Well, I just essentially monitored Phil playing Scrabble. Anyways, you essentially got into a challenge that you imposed on yourself.
I baited
you baited
someone.
A girl into challenging you.
Not the first time. Well, but I went to... I went to the store and I saw they had a bunch of hot dogs on discount, and I was like on clearance, and I was like, why would I need so many hot dogs? They expire in less than a week. And then I thought it. I'd make myself a challenge. So I went home and I was living with my brother's girlfriend at the time, and it was four of us there. And I was like, so I think I could eat 100 hot dogs in... It was 13 days. The limit was 15 days, but two of those days I had to go to two separate weddings.
Okay.
So that was different. So it was like 13 or 15 days, depending which way you want to look at it. And she's like, why would you want to do that? And I just said, challenge! And I proceeded to do it. Although what was funny was because I did eat two hot dogs on the wedding day. When was this? This was last May, because that was when Andy got married. It was during...
He got married in March.
March, last March is what I meant to say.
So, like, I was witness of you eating those two hot dogs at the wedding.
Yeah, well, because I had the two weddings to go back-to-back Saturdays I had them. And what was funny is... for both of them, I actually had the. I also bought, like, maybe a month before, I bought a briefcase from the Goodwill store. So I was able to sneak in hot dogs to the wedding in a briefcase. It wasn't refrigerated or anything, nor did I have a microwave to reheat them, but they still tasted pretty good.
Is it fair to say hot dogs are your favorite food?
Yes, it would be fair to say.
Let's go through the list. Your favorite place to get hot dogs? Like hot dog joint, what is it?
Gene and Jude's would just be the straight up hot dogs.
Yeah. I'm with you, Gene and Jude's is in a... What town is it? River Grove?
I don't know if there's River Grove or Franklin Park.
It's not sure. On the edge. It's right by Triton College. Mm-hmm. It's right by Kitty Lane. It's wonderful. I'd agree with you 100%. What's your favorite place near you to get hot dogs?
Well, hot dogs, of course, is good. The Vienna Beef Hot Dog Factory, I was just at today.
You were there today.
Yes.
Why do you like going to the beef? I've heard great things about the Vienna Beef Hot Dog Factory. What about it?
The working class feel.
Does it actually feel that way?
Well, it kind of does. I mean, you got some people who are, you know, who don't work there, but it's so weird because I was just talking with the people I was there, and they were workers who eat there because it's like their cafeteria too, and they got hard hats, and I was like, what could they be doing inside the hot dog factory? They're of course from the work. Hard hats.
You don't want to know. You never want to know that. You want to ruin the illusion.
That was interesting.
What is your favorite type of hot dog to buy?
I just get a regular Chicago hot style.
No. From the store, packaged, pre-packaged hot dogs that you're going to make at home.
Oh, what's your brand? I normally go with Vienna Beef. Although Ballpark, you know, I mix it up. I mean, there's no...
Do you prefer charbroiled on the grill in the...
I like the grilled, but I personally like to boil them.
You for when you're at home, you boil them.
I do normally, but I am not a picky eater, as you might guess. I also microwave them, which a lot of people are really disturbed.
What do you think of the Foreman? I actually think the Foreman's a great compromise for the charbroiled.
No, the Foreman is good. It's good. I've been satisfied. No, it's
do
good.
You care about the bun? Does it have to be poppy seed? Because I prefer the poppy seed.
I prefer the poppy seed, yeah. But I don't care when it comes to food. I don't really care. I will eat anything. I've often eaten almost anything. It's funny, at work, my co-manager, we challenge each other to eat like worse and worse foods. Like I ate salami that wasn't refrigerated for 3 or 4 days. At that point, it tasted like beef jerky.
Was it any good?
It was not bad.
Have you ever been a picky eater, ever, like as a child?
Sort of. I was kind of a stereotypical child in that I didn't want to eat vegetables or anything like that.
Do you eat vegetables now?
I will. I mean,
but if you're at home alone.
Well, the problem is, I will eat. If somebody gives me something really healthy, I'll eat it. If somebody gives me something really unhealthy, I'll eat it.
It's just so
much easier to eat things that are really unhealthy because it's cheaper and it's more available to me.
If you're at home alone and you have all 10 different dishes ready to go in the fridge, and within 5 minutes, no more, no less, for every single dish, what are you going to eat?
You mean, what are the options?
The options are sushi.
I like sushi.
A chicken Caesar salad. a hot dog. A Hot Pockets.
Well, it'll be the hot dog. It would be the hot dog. It would be the hot dog. Let's not kid ourselves.
Do you prefer the celery salt on the dog?
I love celery salt.
Do you have it at home?
I do. I also, somewhat disturbingly, I also put popcorn seasoning on everything.
Really?
Yeah, like the popcorn, like the butter, popcorn butter seasoning.
I get that, but why is that?
It tastes really good. I like butter. I like butter a lot also.
Are you a sweets kind of guy?
I'm sorry?
Are you a sweets guy?
I eat a lot of Sour Patch Kids as well.
Why aren't you 400 pounds?
I don't know. People often ask me that
question. Do you bike anywhere?
No. I walk a lot at work, like between places. So like at work, like I do a lot of physical moving, but... Because I think when I went on my vacation, I probably gained about 5 pounds, 10 pounds, and I lose it all like 2 days into work back. So I don't know if that's it, but...
You played sports as a child,
yeah,
too.
Yes.
Maybe that has something to do with it.
So I don't know. I should, by all means. I mean, I'm sure I might not weigh that much, but I'm sure my arteries are about as clogged as one can get.
So pretty much you dress like you should have been living 27 years ago. You have the arteries of somebody who is eating 27 years ago. And yet you still look amazing, Phil. It's wonderful. Phil's, by the way, if it's okay with you, Phil's going to be the official baseball guy for You, Me, Them, Everybody. And Tony and I are going to do all the entertainment crap, and Phil and I are going to do all the baseball crap. Phil, you in on this?
I'm in.
So we're going to actually record a show, because this is opening week of 2009 Major League Baseball season. Before we get to that, Phil loves fantasy baseball. Is that fair to say?
That's actually a little of an understatement.
Okay, that's good. Phil is one of the smartest people that I know of fantasy baseball. I think you loaned me Moneyball.
I did.
And it really turned me onto it, and I have a newfound appreciation for it. But at the same time, I don't necessarily ever want to be a part of that. For example, Phil is in this room with me now. He is wearing a Harry Carey patch on his sleeve. He is a Cubs fan.
True.
How do you go against the team you like when you're in fantasy baseball?
It's business, man.
It's not business, though, man. That's the thing that I'm talking about. You're in fantasy baseball. You won your league last year? No.
No, unfortunately. I should have. I went over almost 3 months without losing a game. And come playoff time.
Playoffs are a different beast, man.
Fantasy playoffs happened the month before the regular season. So the last month of regular season is fantasy playoffs. So
sorry.
That's all right. I forgive you.
It's all the Diet Coke.
So unfortunately, here I go, almost 3 months without losing game, clearly in first place, blowing every team out, and in the same week, Evan Longoria, my third baseman, gets a beanball right off his wrist, breaks it. Carlos Quinton, also on my team,
breaks his hand
on his own bat. And a game I was watching in the same week, and all of a sudden I lose the first game of the playoffs because, you know, two of my top hitters are gone.
What about it draws you to this?
A lot of it has to do with statistical analysis. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious that I would do a better job managing a real baseball team than about just about everybody in the.
You know, you sound like a crazy sports fan.
I would agree, and most fans do. The only difference is most fans are stupid.
Just now like you sound the most, like an elitist sports fan.
Just like most real GMs are stupid. I mean,
who's your favorite GM?
Billy Bean. I mean, without a doubt. I mean,
is he your golden god right now?
I mean, Billy Bean's amazing. I mean, there's other good ones. I mean, Theo Epstein's really good.
By the way, Billy Bean is the Oakland A's GM. Yeah. What was his name? Not Billy.
Theo Epstein.
Theo Epstein is the Boston Red Sox. He's the really youngest GM ever to win a World Series. Is that correct?
Yes.
He's like 29.
I know. He was really young.
In 04. And
they almost were traded for each other.
Yeah, I know that. That's crazy.
GMs for GM swap.
When did you first get into this? I know this
baseball?
Is like a, not well, baseball, fantasy baseball. I'm sure you were like me and like from the, your from yeah, this one right. You could remember
right,
you're into
right,
baseball.
No. When I really got into what got me into fantasy, but was actually I mean, granted, there's nothing about fantasy baseball, Moneyball. I mean, that's what got into me. It was just the statistical analysis that's involved. It really, I mean, I always liked math, and it was just the hard fact where you could prove how good and how not good, how the exact value of something, you know, is what drew me to it.
Was this before or after Moneyball?
It was right when I read it. It was right after Moneyball is when I fell in love with.
So
I mean, I liked fantasy baseball before then.
But always, did you ever play?
I played it once, and then I was like, you know, I did play it, but like it was just a different beast. Like I played it as like a casual person, you know, who played it, and then after I realized how important like statistical analysis was, like it. I opened Pandora's box, if you will. It just.
So this is what year? 2003, 2004?
I was somewhere around there, yeah, because
okay.
I was in college.
So this is roughly your fifth year, like, really into it.
Yeah, where it devotes most of my time.
Are you glad that you're into this?
Yes, very much so. It's. I mean, at times it eats me up. I mean, that's all my free time just about is spent on fantasy baseball.
Why not try to get a job with, say, Baseball Prospectus?
Well, I'm sure that's a million people try to do that.
So,
you know?
Like you said, a million of them are probably dumb.
They are all dumb. If the real... I mean, you just look at some of these... We'll get into the baseball episode later, but there's just...
This is wonderful. You're so passionate about this.
There's so many... I mean, you just look at the people, and they just... I don't know what it is, but they don't get it. I mean, they're just unbelievable lack of statistical analysis or any kind of, like, critical thinking. is quite distressing.
Phil, you're an amazing guest. I'd love to have you on more. We're going to cut this off so we could start the baseball picks and then we could watch the Cubs game. So, Phil, thank you so much for coming on. We're going to close the show with Daniel Knox. Daniel Knox is playing on, let me look at the calendar, April 9th, Thursday, April 9th. So I think a day after this podcast goes up. And it's going to be at the Hideout. And I hope you guys show up. It'll be a good show. Once again, thanks for listening. For more information on anything, go to youmethemeverybody.com. I forgot the most important part of the interview. I did not ask Phil a question from the Kicker's Book of Questions by Gregory Stock, PhD. So, Phil, give me a number between 1 and 260. 45. If you could change any one thing about your parents, what would it be?
Oh, man.
I know.
Ouch.
Silence. That was 3 seconds at least of silence. That was what you're pondering this question.
If I could change anything about my parents.
Anything.
If I could change anything, is it like
anything? It doesn't have to be realistic.
I wish that they were both baseball players.
Awesome! Thank you, Phil. All right. Once again, Daniel Knox is playing this Thursday at the Hideout. Please go check it out if you can, and go to the website for more information.
Well, it's a very good question. Where did all this blood come from? Held my brother's hand and asked him, should we build a small boat to catch the fish that rose to the surface when they found they could not breathe? I brought my sleeve up to my nostrils so so